CTV.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to share with you a letter that I received. I printed this from my email from a believer. After having watched, this believer watched the video broadcast today, my video from my hotel at the conference in Richmond, Virginia. In that video, you heard me talk about and saw me talk about the young woman who was pregnant in her first trimester and who yet still looks forward to the coming of Christ, casting her care and her burden. And yes, it is a burden to be bringing a new one into this world and to be facing the things that this world is facing. But being in Christ is guaranteed. It's guaranteed to be taken care of. I mean, the rest of the world is also guaranteed to be taken care of, but God, as I said at the conference, or maybe I said it in the video, is our intimate. We are His intimates, and He does special things for us. I mentioned a verse at the conference that everybody loved, that the God, speaking of a God who is able to do super excessively above all that we are able to ask or expect or hope for. Anything we can imagine or think that we would like to happen, God is going to do super excessively above. Now, I might as well say this before I read the letter, because it occurred to me to say this. Now, to say it now, because I said it at the conference, and it does concern those who are hesitant to leave this world, even to go to the next world, even to be made immortal, even to be glorified with Christ. They are hesitant because of loved ones here. And some are hesitant because of their pets. Yes, I understand. So can I offer you some comfort about that? Yes, I can. I'm just going to put the verse right here. There's the verse right there. Oh, sorry. Great news. Great news. So this is what I think, this is what I expect. And so since what I'm about to tell you is what I think and what I expect, then I know for a fact that God is going to do super excessively, super abundantly more than what I've just said. This is what I think. For the first time in the history of the universe, human beings, former mortal human beings, because we're still going to be human beings, will be snatched away and taken to celestial realms. Never happened before. Yes, Paul went to the third heaven, but he doesn't even know if it was in the body or in the spirit. That's different. That doesn't count. We're talking about human beings being fitted. That is, their bodies being changed. Paul's body wasn't changed to go to a celestial realm. Never happened before, but it's going to happen at the snatching away. The dead in Christ will rise first. Thereupon, we who are remaining will be snatched away together with the dead, join the Lord in the air. We know that this happens before, well, I think it does now. I think it happens before the tribulation starts. Not in the middle of the tribulation, but before it starts. In the next few weeks, I will be giving you reasons why. Our friend Aaron Welch, who was at the conference, is working on an article of why he thinks the snatching away of the body of Christ happens before the 7 years begins and not in the middle. I'm starting to lean this way. Of course, I'm still leaning toward 2.5 minutes. But I've been thinking the latest the snatching away could happen would be the middle of the last 7 years. I touched on this a little bit. Our friend Aaron, who was at the conference, is doing some exhaustive research, which would say that the latest to him, and he made some good points. We talked about this. We had a little circle after the conference, and Aaron was bringing some of his findings to him, the latest would be the beginning of the final 7 years. And if F.H. Bader and others are correct, and if we are correct with our calculations as to how many years have expired from Adam, and if we are correct about the Jubilee years, which I believe we are, and that 27 A.D. was the year that Jesus Christ stood up in Nazareth to begin his public ministry, and I believe it was 27 because that was the 15th year of Tiberius, as we read in Luke chapter 3. Then the tribulation begins in the spring of 2021. Yes, 2021. Look at your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. It's the late spring of 2019. I'll leave it at that. But who's to say that if we are, when we are snatched away before the tribulation, that we will be able to return to earth during the tribulation and to assist our loved ones in their trials during the tribulation? Yes, I don't have scripture for this specifically, but I do have the scripture that says God is able to do super abundantly and will do super abundantly above and beyond anything we expect or can even imagine. That's what God will do. I'm imagining this. I'm imagining that I will be able to come back to the earth, stand before my loved ones who are swatting away locusts, say, "How do you like me now?" and then get rid of the locusts, and so on and so forth. Some kind of assistance. There is some scriptural precedent for this. I'll just give you a couple little things. Didn't plan on talking about this, but it seems appropriate in light of today's video, which says Faith for the Coming Transformation. That was the name of today's video. If you don't know what I'm referring to, go to Martin Zender, Faith for the Coming Transformation. That was the name of the video I'm commenting upon. Jesus Christ, after he raised from the dead, returned to earth. Certainly, he had a resurrection body when he appeared before his Father in heaven after his death and resurrection, but he returned to earth looking like he did when he left, so that his disciples recognized him. However, he walked through a wall in the upper room to get there. Didn't use the door. Why use the door when you're glorified? You can do tricks like that. Parlor tricks. Very, very impressive. Or he comes back to earth, that's the point. So it's just a hint. It's a suggestion that we who will be in Christed, made the body of Christ complete, which completes Christ, that we also will come back and help our loved ones. I think that's a nice little suggestion that we could and would be able to do that. And the phrase that was being bandied about at the conference was, "All bets are off." All bets are off. In other words, God is doing something amazing that's never been done before, taking human beings into the celestial realm. And so, never seen that before, so why wouldn't he do something else that no one has ever seen before? Human beings with changed bodies having been taken to heaven, then coming back to earth after all. Aha, here's another thing. Us, the body of Christ, will return with Christ, because God returns with his saints for Israel. The only saints he could possibly be returning with when he comes down to the Mount of Olives for Israel is us, the body of Christ. There, so we're coming down to earth, we know, then. Why not when our loved ones need us? Why couldn't we be the agency that heals them, that carries them through? Look what Jesus did for Peter on the water. Peter was ready to drown. Jesus reaches out and pulls him in. The letter from the brother. He's writing fellow family members and friends in light of the video he watched that I made from my hotel room after the conference. "It amazes me," says this man, "that only 30 believers showed up for Martin's Richmond conference. The expectant young mother there was truly full of grace and realizing her child was on loan to her by our gracious God who breathed that life into her womb, further knowing God truly loved the baby and her family infinitely more than she ever could. Yes, we know there are many who could not make the trip for valid reasons. He first says that he's surprised only 30 believers showed up. I was thrilled that 30 believers showed up. But again, we had to call from 6 states to get them. Doesn't matter how we get them. It looked like a crowd to me. Of course, there are many valid reasons. Everybody got a reason not to come. But it takes an incredible effort to get to a conference. This writer goes on, but it struck me that as God whittled down the numbers of Gideon's army from 30,000 to a mere 300, he seems to be doing the same with the true body of Christ, the true believers. Remember the many who followed Jesus as the popular thing to do. Many did. This is true. When Jesus was on earth, it was a popular, it started to look like a little bit of an uprising. And Jesus was performing miracles. And so not necessarily the popular thing to do, but it was unique. It was fun. It was an adventure. But then what happened? Yes. Back to the letter, quote, then when Jesus had hard sayings they could not understand nor accept, they left him. His few true believers responded when asked by him, will you not also leave? Saying in reply to him, where would we go, Lord? Only you have the words of aeonian life. Letter goes on, Martin and a select handful of watchmen are bringing a message of truth, a message of hard understanding to the modern-day Pharisees, and it is intolerable to those who are not a part of the true body of believers. We see it so clearly by God's grace, yet they are blind. The snatching away is surely coming soon, but we must believe, not by human emotional reasoning, but by the faith given us by God and truth brought by his messengers like Martin. Thank you. I appreciate that. I am a messenger. That's all I am, is a messenger. We are so comforted to know all our unbelieving loved ones will be reconciled to God in the eons to come. Praise be to our Lord. Amen. We must strengthen our brothers as we are able to the end. Thank you for this lovely letter, my friend. So I will save what I was going to talk about today. I was going to talk about the body of Christ as those who are finishing what Paul started. Let me talk about that tomorrow. I also want to talk about the generations of the eon of the eons that Paul mentions in Ephesians 3:21. That's right, I want to talk to you about the citizens of the coming world who have never experienced mortality. What will their experience be like, and what role will we play in their lives? But now that it has started raining here in Fort Lauderdale, I kind of like it for the video, so maybe I'll say a few additional things about us coming back to assist our loved ones and our pets after we are snatched away. God and Christ are coming into, the world is coming into, the two good eons. Eons 4 and 5 are the, if you will, the cherries on the top of what God has been doing. These are the eons that he has been working toward through the evil eons of eon 1, 2, and 3. So he purposely withholds miracles now because we're in an evil eon and we're operating by faith. And any miracles you see today, chances are false miracles. But in the eons to come, again, we're done with the evil eons, and now God is going to be in the habit of expressing and showing, demonstrating good things. We see, we're not used to that. We're so used to seeing evil. We're so used to things not working out. We're so used to feeling like we're not getting help, that it's going to be tough to make the transformation into everything's crappy, Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. That's the way we think today because that's the way it is. It's going to be tough. Well, after we're changed, it'll feel natural, but it's tough for us to think now from this perspective of a time where Murphy's Law is a thing of the past. Anything that can go wrong doesn't go wrong, and whatever could, what, here's the anti-Murphy Law. Whatever could possibly go right will go right. This is why God can say, through Paul, that God is able to do super excessively above all that we're able to want or hope or dream. I'm kind of paraphrasing the end of that there, but look it up for yourself. This is for the future, the near future. It's not for now, because again, now is Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. Now is Paul, Romans 8, you know, we're being delivered all day to death. That's what we're used to. We're used to not getting miracles, to not getting help. But again, as I told you before, God has to work hard to keep the glory at bay. When these eons switch over from eon 3 to 4, which is the beginning of the good eons, and it begins with us being snatched away, that's the beginning of it, then it's a whole new ball game. That's why I say all bets are off, because now things are going to be happy and jolly and like, wow. Not on earth, that's true, but with us, yes. So that's why I say we will fall, come down to earth like a refreshing rain. This, I don't have scripture for this, but I'm just going on what I know about God, on what I know about the switch from the evil eons to the good eons. To God be glory for the eons of the eons, from what I know of him, from what I've seen of how Joseph blessed his brothers. See, we get indications of it even in this crappy time period. Joseph blessed his brothers. Jesus helps Peter. Jesus returns to the upper room to give his disciples some advice. He meets them at the Mount of Olives before he goes back to heaven. Very considerate, very kind. He didn't have to do that. He could have stayed up in heaven and basked in the glory of it all. But no, God is in the mode in the near future of helping those who are struggling. Oh, and the angel. Remember when Jesus was in, this is what I was thinking of before, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his extremity, in the worst time of his life, was assisted by messengers, by angels that attended to him. Remember in the garden, he's sweating blood. And then finally, angels came. It's like, oh, that made him feel better. Made him feel a lot better to see these angels. Like, oh, thank you. God, thank you for the angels. So the angels came. And what does the book of Revelation say about this time period? Or I think maybe it's Jesus says it in Matthew 24. A time is coming upon the earth that the earth has never experienced before. The hardest thing ever to take hold of this earth is coming. Do you think that will happen to our loved ones without mercy and grace of God dripping down from heaven, which will be us? I don't think so.